The way that I train now, I really don't even like it very much. Like, it's not my preference of how I'm getting my workouts in, but I also remind myself that I'm getting them in, and at some point it will change and I can get back to training more the way that I like to. And in the meantime, I'm just doing the best that I can and I'm fitting it in where I can. And a lot of days it involves a toddler in the gym working out with me. And is that my preference? Not really, but you know, it's also getting done and it's showing him the importance of working out, and he loves being in the gym. So that's a win.
Hey guys, it's Corey from Redefining Strength. Welcome to the Fitness Hacks Podcast. Today we're gonna talk about tips for new moms, because you have a lot going on. There's a lot you wanna achieve and there's a lot you have to balance, and even mindsets you have to shift if you wanna see the results that you deserve. I'm super excited to have one of my coaches, Rachel, who's a new mom and a fabulous trainer, on with me today to give you her top tips, not only to adjust your mindset, but also how you approach working out and nutrition during this phase where you are a new parent and have a lot going on. So let's jump right in. All right, unpopular truth that you have to deal with: life has changed. Life is actually constantly changing. There's constantly shifts in our schedule, you know, our stress at work, our, you know, of free time, how we even want to diet, what we want to include, how we want to train, right? We set different goals. Our body is shifting as we get older. There are so many ways that life is changing at all times, but you have had a huge shift with having this new baby, this new bundle of joy. And so you have to own that other things in your life have to change. And what might have been your ideal before, what you might have enjoyed before, might have to be different now. And the more we can embrace this, the more we can give ourselves permission to embrace this, the better off we're going to be. So I think it's really key in this phase, you assess, where am I at currently? Not where did I used to be? What would I ideally like to be doing now? What was my ideal? But where am I at currently, and how can I move forward from here? Because the more we can meet ourselves where we're at over trying to seek to achieve some ideal, the better off we're going to be. Because often in trying to do more, in setting this perfect plan, the thing we think we need to do, something that someone else did at this phase, instead of addressing what we actually need, the more we set ourselves up for failure, not because the habits aren't good, right? But because we don't create that snowball of habit changes that we actually need to see in order to get consistency results build. Because if you think about it, right, if you set this 5 days a week and you get not consistent with it and you only do one or two, you feel demotivated and then you end up not doing anything, right? So it's the more you do in both a positive and negative direction. So as small as the change might seem, as simple as it might seem, as even stupid, not that I like using that word, but as stupid as the change might seem to you because it seems way too small for what you actually need, that small change done consistently will build a positive momentum, right? It will allow you to ingrain that habit and then add another habit on so that you're not constantly depleting your willpower, your self-control, which is already depleted with all the other things you have to do to implement these new healthy habits that will move you forward towards the weight loss you want, towards the healthy lifestyle you want, towards more energy, whatever else it is. So you have to remember that the small things done and done consistently will build that positive momentum, because they will allow you to add on other habits without depleting yourself, not to mention create that positive mindset. And that's really ultimately what drives us forward towards success, the mindset. Because if we have that ideal that just ends up depleting us and then we can't be consistent, we're gonna feel more demotivated because we feel bad about ourselves. Oh, I didn't do this. I can't maintain the schedule. It's just unrealistic. I'm not good enough. Like, we go into that whole negative cycle because we feel like we can't do what we should be doing, versus if we give ourselves stuff we should be doing that's so easy to achieve that we can move forward. Yeah, again, it might not lead to the fastest results, but it's going to ultimately lead to the success we want and really put us in that positive direction. So own that life has changed. Don't try and run from it. Don't try and change what's your realistic situation right now. Own it and find ways to meet yourself where you're at. List out your non-negotiables and know what your priorities are, and then give yourself permission to also make yourself a priority, but meeting yourself with things that are realistic for your schedule right now. I'm super excited to have Rachel on, one of my coaches who is a new mom and handling it like a rock star. I'm sure it doesn't always feel like that, but welcome, Rachel. I'm super excited for you to share some great tips about mindset, fitting in your workouts, balancing your diet, getting the results you deserve while being a new mom, which we know is a full-time job in and of itself. So welcome. So I want to start with the mindset component of it. I know everybody's like, well, I want to know about the workouts and what I should be doing and the diet and all these different things. But ultimately, whether you get the results that you want and whether or not you don't stress yourself out so much that you want to give up on life comes back to your mindset. So can you talk a little bit about what mindset you recommend people come in with, how you can really impact the results that you see with your beliefs about what you can achieve?
I think that's really an important question. And for me, the biggest thing that I have focused on is getting away from the narrative of I'm trying to lose the baby weight, or I'm trying to bounce back. Because I think so often when we hear about diet and training, especially postpartum, it's the focus on trying to either get back to where you were, size, weight, whatever, or to try to even be better than you were before. And so I think approaching it from a health aspect and as a self-care aspect, as a long-term investment, to me is really important. And I know that's really easy to say. You know, I just had my second child. My son is 3. The baby is now 2 months. And still there's that background noise in your brain that's like, I should be farther along. I should be farther along. And so it's easy to say that. But I think for women trying to separate diet, exercise from weight loss exclusively is so important, especially in this time when you do have a lot of stress.
But it's also then recognizing the value of doing the things that you need to do to lose weight that also have a positive impact on the way you're sleeping, on the way you're energized, on all of these different things. And it even, I mean, people, regardless of just having a baby, whatever else, like we always go to, like, oh, is it worth it to be doing these healthy things if I'm not seeing the results? And it's like, well, yeah, it's worth it even for these other reasons. But it will snowball if you can give yourself that grace, realize you're doing this for more than just bouncing back. And also that it takes time and it's gonna be hard.
Yeah. I think so often, and in a lot of the narratives or the images that we see on social media, these women look great. You know, like I love the women who are doing pull-ups while baby wearing their infant, you know, and it's just like, we see that and it's like, that's great for them. But also comparing ourselves to those folks, I think is dangerous. And it's an investment long term in not only your health, but also the health of your family. And to me, and I know that several of our coaches here at RS really share this and talk about it a lot, is we are role modeling for our children. And when we can eat healthy, exercise, talk about our bodies in positive ways, then that actually is going to really help our children. You know, the kids' statistics are terrible. You know, 1 out of 6 kids now is overweight. You know, it's a scary time for parents. And the more that we can be role models, the better off our children are going to be for their own health and well-being and all of that stuff.
And it's not even just the habits, right? Like, obviously you want to get them eating fruits and vegetables, working out, but it's even the mindset of making it okay to prioritize their health, even while they're taking care of other people as they get older, right? Because we often don't practice what we preach. We say, oh, take care of yourself, as we're like not taking care of ourselves, right? So it's setting that expectation, that mindset and belief that you are worth it too.
Sure. And you know, one of the things that I think people wait on is I'm going to wait until fill in the blank. You know, I'm going to wait in my, you know, I'm going to wait till the baby sleeps through the night. I'm going to wait until my kid is in 3K, you know, all of these things. But you talk to moms of any, you know, parent age, and, you know, kids are in sports. Now they have activities. Now they have college. It doesn't get easier. It just changes. And a lot of times I think we feel like our workouts should be easy. We should have an hour. It just doesn't work that way. And I would advocate to anybody, hey, get started now. It's not going to feel better in a month or 2 months or a year. You're probably still going to be tired and it's still going to be hard no matter when you start. So you might as well get started today.
I agree. And I love that you even mentioned in talking about all the different struggles and different tips to help new moms that you mentioned that perfect can be the enemy of good enough. Because I do think it's hard not to have that all or nothing mindset, right? Like we all have it in some form of, oh, this worked at this perfect time in my life when, you know, maybe you were single, not meal prepping for a family, had all the time in the world because your job wasn't as, you know, intensive, whatever else it was. And then we never do something. And then ultimately we never move forward. We never build habits. We're constantly feeling like we have to rely on willpower and motivation and just bad cycle.
Right. And I think that's important too for people who have trained in the past. Like for me, You know, coming from a competitive powerlifting background, when I was single, I would easily spend 2 hours a day, most days in the gym, because it was fun. I had the time. Most of my friends were there. And then even the difference between one child and now two children, it's a game changer. I mean, you know, because you're navigating one child's schedule. Now you've got a baby. It's very difficult. And so, I mean, I have to be honest, the way that I train now, I really don't even like it very much. Like, it's not my preference of how I'm getting my workouts in, but I also remind myself that I'm getting them in. And at some point it will change and I can get back to training more the way that I like to. And in the meantime, I'm just doing the best that I can and I'm fitting it in where I can. And a lot of days it involves a toddler in the gym working out with me. And is that my preference? Not really, but you know, it's also getting done and it's showing him the importance of working out and he loves being in the gym. So that's a win.
That is a huge win. He's going to want to be in there all the time, which might be good or bad for you. I don't know. And I think too, off of that, like getting into even some more of the tactics to help like new moms fit in their workouts, you know, adjust their diet. It's very important to recognize that it might not be your ideal and that it might not be eventually what you want to be doing. But part of this too is A, exploring new options, which maybe you'll find something you like better, maybe not, but also that you're building that foundation so you can come back. Because if you wait, you're potentially actually getting further away from being able to jump back into what you love. So finding a way and finding a way to prioritize what's important to you is very key.
Right. From just a practical standpoint, the things that have really helped me from a workout standpoint is having a plan. You know, I think sometimes we overthink, you know, and when you only have a short window of time in order to get in a workout, it's not the time to be looking on YouTube. It's not the time to be trying to do what this other person on Instagram did. So having a plan either written out that you do for yourself, or if you have the ability, and it's a great time for coaching, because you can then take that component of your day and put it on somebody else and then just follow directions. And there are a lot of people out there who are good at creating efficient workouts that are effective with limited equipment. So, you know, if you have the ability, I would say now is a great time for coaching and just be honest, you know, with your coach or following a program so that you're not making decisions on the fly. The second one is really trying to be efficient and short. You know, chances are you probably are not going to have a full hour of time to do a workout. And so trying to think, how can I be as efficient as possible in 30 minutes? Focusing on strength training, you know, a lot of times people want to go to the gym and that's amazing. That's a great option. But especially if you have a new baby or you're juggling multiple children, it's way time efficient if you can do it at home. You know, when I teach my students a kettlebell and a resistance band solve almost all of your problems. And it's low cost and something you can do in literally a corner of your living room. So having some efficient things ready to go. And then just being honest about your time, you know, with having a newborn, you know, I have to use naps strategically. That really worked, especially with my first child, because he was a great napper. So you can say, okay, when he goes down, I've got this period of time. And, you know, if you're juggling multiple children, that might not be an option, but, you know, being honest too about it may be early morning and that time may not be your preference. You know, for me personally, I've gone back to 5 a.m. workouts. I would really like to sleep more. The baby still wakes up in the night. I would like to sleep more, but that's the only time it's consistent. And that's unfortunate.
But I think you highlighted probably the most important thing is the honesty with yourself as to what's realistic. Because if you do that, like people ask, you know, like what's the ideal amount of training time? What's the ideal equipment? What's the ideal move? And it's really about meeting yourself where you're at so you can be consistent. And if you're honest about the time you have to train, when you have to train, you can make it work and design for that time and then move forward. And truly, you can see amazing results with body weight. There's so many other forms of progression. And it goes back to exploring and whether or not you want to do the research to explore or you want to have someone else design for you. Going in with that plan then keeps you accountable. I can tell you, I don't even have the excuse of having a kid and they're not sleeping through the night and having to get up early. And I will have days where I'm like, I didn't map something out or I was in between progressions or whatever else. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do what I feel. And that's way different than what I would have caused myself to do had I had a plan in place.
Right. And I'm glad that you mentioned what I feel like, because I think a lot of times too, moms were juggling so much. you know, we're looking at the dishes, we're looking at the laundry. We got to return that one email. And so scheduling workouts is so important, and then sticking to that schedule and treating it just like you would a meeting or an activity, because, you know, I'm so guilty of this, of, you know, like, oh, I'll just get started. I'm going to do these things first. You know, I'm going to get the dishes unloaded. I'm going to do the laundry. I'm going to do whatever. And it's like, okay, then 30 minutes goes by and there was your workout time. And, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but the dishes are still there. The laundry is still there when I get done with my workout. And so I can just pick it up then. And, you know, it's often hard to say, to be honest with ourselves, like, time is a finite resource. We only have so much time. And so we need to make sure that we are up there at the, toward the top of it. I actually had a client years ago tell me something that has stuck with me, which is, you can't pour from an empty glass. And I think too often, you know, having coached, you know, hundreds of women at this point, you hear, oh, well, I feel guilty. You know, I'm selfish. It's time away from my family. But ultimately, it's time, you know, that you are better and healthier. If I'm not healthy and I'm not strong, then I'm not much help to anybody else. And so kind of shifting that narrative to taking care of myself with workouts is time that I'm investing in my family. And, you know, everybody can make it work for 30 minutes without you.
And by setting that schedule, you make yourself do something sometimes when you don't want to, but ultimately you never regret that workout. You really do feel good about it. And you get in that consistent routine where you then want to do it. Your mindset is better to tackle other challenges throughout the day. You feel better about what you've accomplished, what you've prioritized. And it does make, it's a snowball, and we don't often recognize that. So setting that routine and that schedule for ourselves is really key. And then reminding ourselves too that our mental drain can make us feel like we're physically drained. So you go into the workout now wanting to do things. So that's why that plan is so key. But also owning that, knowing you're mentally drained at points, you might have to scale back your workouts to account for that, because you might not feel like pushing just yet in a certain way. Doesn't mean letting yourself off the hook. It doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. But it's also finding that balance of being okay with sometimes knowing, okay, maybe physically I feel good today, but mentally I just don't have my 100%.
Right. And I, you know, to me, being still postpartum, but even more so when I was pregnant, because I do continue to train during pregnancy, I modify and all that. But I always, and you know, this was my second pregnancy continuing to train. I said that I couldn't miss a workout that was scheduled unless I was sick or, you know, something that physically couldn't. But I always gave myself permission to stop early. So it was one of those things. If I get started, I really don't feel, you know, I'm not feeling it. I don't have energy. I could just call it good enough. But the rule was I always had to start. And I've continued that through, you know, this period of time where I'm tired a lot, you know, but I'm probably going to be tired whether I work out or not. So I might as well get in a workout. And like you pointed out, mentally, you actually feel better. You have more energy. You have a little bit more stress reduction, mental clarity. So you get in a workout and you actually feel like, oh man, I got a little hit of energy. Now I can approach things a little bit differently. So
there's also pride in knowing that you did prioritize yourself, that you did something good for yourself, that you freaking juggled it all, right? You know? And I love too that, like, in talking about tips, like you mentioned that you utilize like the quiet time, the nap time to get in your workouts, but also that you get the whole family involved. And, you know, maybe it isn't ideal to have your toddler in the gym for you, you know, they restrict what you can do, but it is that family time still where there is that connection and bond, and that allows you to spend time with them while doing what you need. And there's so many other activities like that where you can be active with your family, but still be getting in that movement.
And, you know, and it's often when we limit ourselves to, I have to go to the gym to work out, then a lot of times you're going to eliminate the option to take your kids, because even if there are daycares or childcare, it, you know, they're there, you're here. And that's totally fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when you try to do it at home, when you go to the local park, I mean, tons of places now have, you know, pull-up bars and this and that. So like you can even go to the playground, kid is playing, you're doing something. I have a friend, her kids are a little bit older. They all play baseball. So instead of, you know, just sitting there on the stands, she walks, she does a little circuit, you know, off by herself. She actually has parents who are like, wow, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm not going to sit here for 4 hours. I'm going to get in a workout. And so, you know, things like walking, if your kid is still in a stroller, these are all ways to get active and get a workout in without having to figure out, okay, what am I going to do for childcare? And, you know, I will say, you know, my husband trains, he competes nationally in strongman. So we're a family of fitness. And to see my three-year-old, he has his own set of weights. We made him his own little sandbag. He has a medicine ball that he calls doing stones. So like, these are things that are going to carry him forward. And I wish somebody would have started me when I was that early.
That's freaking awesome. I love it. And it is a fun bonding thing, but also like your husband valuing the working out, there's still that tough conversation at times of like, hey, I need you to watch the kids. I need this time for me. And I think that's often the hardest part. You brought it up already, like guilt, right? As moms, you feel like you need to be taking care of everybody else. And when you prioritize yourself, you do feel guilty about it. So can you go into how you have that conversation, how you both outline making sure that you're getting what you need as a new mom as well?
I think it's, I mean, for sure easier when you have a partner who is also committed to fitness training. It makes it easier because both people say this is a top priority for both of us. And so we, my husband and I, you know, not negotiate. It sounds like it's a give it to, it is a little bit, but you know, this is the days and times you train. These are the days and times that I train so that we both know that we are responsible for keeping kids alive during that period of time. And, you know, it can be frustrating because, you know, for him, because I work out at 5 a.m., well, if the baby is up at 4:30, like, hey, guess what, bud? That's your problem, you know? And it's like, you know, and it's same thing, you know, when he gets home from work, he trains. So there's a negotiation. Now, if you don't have a partner, or if you don't have a partner who is currently interested or training, then having that tough conversation about, I need this time. And, you know, I know that we were talking a little bit before about, unfortunately, our society considers time where you're working out to be selfish. Like, if I'm coming to help you with your children, why aren't you going to the grocery store, doing the laundry, whatever else? And so being upfront, whether that's with a partner or if you have family or a sitter, hey, this is the time and I'm going to go work out, you know, having that conversation upfront. And I would say for me and some of the clients, having the conversation about why is probably more important, you know, approaching it from, I'm doing this because I want to be healthy, I want to be strong, I need stress management, as opposed to, and not that there's anything wrong with wanting to lose weight, but not just because I need to lose the baby weight. Like, I'm doing this as an investment, and these are the reasons why it is so important. So it's a hard conversation.
But it's not only a hard conversation in terms of our perception of what they're going to think, but our own perceptions of ourselves. And I think that's really key we remember, is that it's partly giving ourselves permission, because often we are the ones attributing guilt when potentially your family members might be like, great, go, you've been really grumpy. We want you to get out, go do that stuff for you.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it carries over to other things. Like, you know, I'm fortunate my in-laws live very close and are awesome with helping out. And, you know, you still feel guilty, like, oh, I want to go get a cup of coffee. And it's like, but I, you know, like the little things about that. And so, you know, like you said, giving yourself permission to say, I can't do it all. I need some time. I can't be around my children 24 hours a day. It's okay.
It is A-okay. Now the really hard part, because, you know, I feel like a lot of times we'll be like, well, I actually enjoy training. I want to get back to training. It is me time. I want to talk about the nutrition, because we know it's such a key component of energy, of if you do have aesthetic goals, reaching those aesthetic goals, but truly in feeling your best and taking care of your health as you potentially move towards anything you've set. So talk about adjusting your nutrition postpartum.
I think probably the biggest mistake that I have seen new moms make is wanting to go on a drastic diet. You know, like, I want to lose the weight tomorrow. I need to do keto, intermittent fasting, you know, whatever, super restrictive. I'm going to eat 1200 calories. And so I will tell you from experience, high stress, little sleep, hunger are bad combinations. Like, do not set yourself up to be hungry on top of everything else. So I would encourage people that it's a great time to start tracking your food, to start to see exactly what is kind of coming in. and not to do the keto high restrictive type stuff. It's not that maybe these things don't work or there isn't time in the future for something that's a little bit more restrictive, but it's probably not in the first few months, or it's probably not when you're new to making dietary changes. And I'm a big advocate of the power of addition as opposed to subtraction. So many times, especially, depending on how women approach pregnancy, sometimes women have gained a significant amount of weight. Maybe we've treated it where we're, eating things that we might not normally. And so rather than cutting things out, how can we eat more protein? How can we eat more vegetables? How can we drink more water? How can we get some more fiber? And really focusing on improving the quality of our diet as opposed to the how can I reduce and cut out everything that I really enjoy. So trying to make it health focused as opposed to weight loss. And those things kind of go hand in hand. As my old coach says, form follows function.
No, it's true. And the more you force yourself to rely on a very depleted willpower and self-control tank because of everything else, the less successful you're ultimately going to be. So it is a great time to lay that foundation, as unsexy as that is, and really become more aware of your lifestyle. What are the things that I enjoy? What does my new lifestyle look like? How can I make little changes to this? And yes, focusing on the things you can add in to improve versus the things you have to cut out, because even that mindset, as silly as it might seem sometimes, it really shifts the amount of willpower or self-control we feel like we're using, because a lot of times then the things that we do need to cut out fall a little bit more by the wayside subconsciously as we're consciously trying to do positive things.
And, a conversation just about breastfeeding, which full disclosure, I have not and did not. I've worked with a lot of women who are breastfeeding, and we have to be honest. Sometimes we hear like, oh, breastfeeding is just like, thousands of calories. I can eat whatever I want to, but it's unfortunately not like that. It's about 500 calories a day in terms of extra calorie need. And the body offsets that by you're going to be freaking hungry. Like the women I've worked with who are breastfeeding, hunger is a real thing because the body's priority is to keep supply up. And so if you're a new mom and you're breastfeeding, but you're also trying to create a calorie deficit, it's not that it's not possible, but your top priority does have to be maintaining supply. And so it's not the time for low carb. It's not the time for drastic things. It's about small deficits over time so you can maintain supply and continue to lose weight. It's possible, but it is difficult. And breastfeeding is not the magic bullet, unfortunately, when it comes to losing the baby weight.
And all this to be said, we want you to feel your most fabulous, right? We want you to move forward, feel as functionally fit and strong as possible, achieve any aesthetic goals. But it is about finding that balance, because this has to be a period of getting your feet underneath you to really move forward. And we don't value that enough because it's not sexy. It's not the instant results we want. But thinking about the biggest takeaway from everything that you've learned, everything you've experienced, everything you've seen of like your clients who are new moms, what would you tell someone looking just to make one change this week?
I would say go for 3 walks, put it on your calendar. Too often, as we've heard so often, is this all or nothing mentality. Sometimes we think I have to do 5 workouts. I have to do this. And it's like, just start small, 3 walks. 3, body weight workouts, 3 something where you're taking that time, even if it's 10 or 15 minutes, that is going to build momentum long term, and not trying to do too much too fast, because it's a lot easier to add than it is to subtract. And so really just telling yourself, hey, I'm going to get started today. I'm going to put it on my calendar. I'm going to start small, and then I'm going to build from there. And it's amazing how these things become a catalyst for the other changes. And so, once we get started with workouts, okay, maybe I can eat some protein or some vegetables. Now I can do 4. It really does snowball over time, but you just got to get started, and you're never going to really want to, and you're still going to be tired, and it's still going to be hard.
The more you do, the more you do in a positive or a negative direction. And it's not even the actual habits. It's even the mindsets that you're creating, the positivity by being successful by achieving these things, versus when we set ourselves up for failure and add in too much and then we feel negative because we can't achieve it. So as you said too, you're never going to feel it like it. So why not start today?
Right. And I think, you know, just as a side note, I think so often people have a focus on, you know, I need to find something that I enjoy doing, that I really like doing. And that is wonderful. And, you know, certainly we advocate for that. Find something you enjoy, but it doesn't have to be that way. Like, you know, to get started, you don't have to find something that you love. You just have to get started. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, as an adult, there's lots of things that we do that we just have to, and we don't really like it. We have to pay taxes, you know, these are things that are good for us, even if we don't really like them. So get started. You'll probably enjoy it more or hate it less the more that you do.
I love that. Even if you don't like it, get started with it. It'll allow you to do more of what you love and it'll get the ball rolling.
Exactly. That's good. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel. That was fabulous and so many great tips.
Thank you. It was fun. To the moms out there, keep up the good work.
So I wanted to talk about some meal prep hacks to help you stay on track with your nutrition, reach any aesthetic goals that you want, even just feed your family healthier dishes while you're really strapped for time and potentially not feeling energized, have a million and one things that are distracting you, right? And even if you just want to be a little lazy at times where you do have enough time, I think these are great hacks to help you really hit any macros that you want to dial in your lifestyle to feel more fueled, but keep things in a way that is very sustainable. So first off, getting a crock pot is always a great option. You can put food in there, you can let it sit, and then you can walk away and have lots of leftovers made for you or even for your family. Great option, okay? Baking things. We don't often think about bulk prepping even a protein or bulk prepping vegetables in the oven, but we can do that and then we can make a variety of meals off of that. So I love personally even bulk prepping chicken. That way I know I can throw it in a salad, I can put it in a taco, I can add it to a burrito bowl. There's a variety of different things I can do, but I can easily store that and even freeze some of it for one of those times when I'm in a pinch, but you can bulk prep things by baking them. Then even think about cooking things to freeze to have for our later use. So a lot of times we will meal prep and we'll put it in the fridge and then we'll have that option, but it only stays good for so long. When we freeze things or even have like frozen fruits and vegetables that we can throw into meal prep when we need to microwave it in a pinch, we have those options for the times where we haven't been able to cook maybe as we had originally planned, or we've been on the go more than we thought we were gonna be. So freezing things to have that are already cooked or partially cooked so that it's really quick to heat up can be really helpful as well. Then, as much as we like diversity in things, and often we will want to experiment with different recipes, or maybe we were experimenting all the time before, you want to think about ways to simplify things and have staple things that you always know you can fit into your diet to hit whatever goals you have. So if you are starting to track, if you are looking to lose weight, gain muscle, whatever else, postpartum, having the ability to have staple things that you know, even if the day hasn't gone as planned and you've eaten some things that you wouldn't normally eat, you have those staples there that you can work into your meals to make sure that you're hitting the nutritional needs that you have. Then think easy options, okay? Yes, we know that whole natural foods, cooked fresh, you know, bought fresh are probably the ideal, although again, frozen, you can get things that are picked at the peak of ripeness, which can be very valuable, but having those quick options is really key. And this can mean having protein bars. It can mean having some jerky in your cabinet. It can mean even getting hard-boiled eggs already cooked from the store. It can mean having Greek yogurt that you can even throw some protein powder in. It means even making smoothies, maybe making overnight oats, experimenting with some things that you can have right there, some more processed, some a little bit less, but not making yourself feel guilty that you're trying to stay on track. And again, it goes back to the more you do, right? By having that protein bar, maybe it's not your ideal, it's not the whole natural food, but you know you're also doing what you need to stay on track versus grabbing the candy bar or eating something that won't drive you forward towards your goals. So having those quick options is really key. Protein powders are one of the best things you can have on hand to throw into a lot of different things, whether it's oatmeal, Greek yogurt, another type of yogurt, smoothie, whatever else it is, okay? And then consider snack plate things. So I've actually become personally really obsessed with these, which is maybe why I bring them up, but I also think it's a great option to get in a diversity of micronutrients without having to cook. So I will have bulk prep protein or even have bought some pre-cooked protein from the store. I love even the cocktail shrimp pack. You can get cocktail shrimp a lot of places, especially if you like seafood, it's already cooked. You throw that on a plate, you cut up some vegetables, you can make a dip with the cottage cheese or Greek yogurt, even mixing in some seasonings. You can dip the vegetables in there, you can put some hot sauce on the protein or whatever else it is, or make a little dip for that. But you have the snack plate that you can even sort of eat. Unfortunately, while we want to sit down for our meals, potentially standing up, doing other things, multitasking as well, but then you can get an array of different micronutrients to really hit what you need in terms of those macros even to move forward towards your goals. But snack plates are often undervalued and you can have a lot of fun with them as well and use a lot of easy things on there. And then As much as you want to sit down for meals as much as possible, because that gives us that time to decompress, it gives us that time to be conscious of what we're consuming, because that mindless snacking can potentially hold us back from our goals, remember it's okay to give yourself permission to eat on the go and have some of those quicker options handy that you can grab as you're running around, because you don't want yourself to get so hungry that you're starving at the end of the day and you're like, screw it, I don't really care, I'm gonna reach for anything, right? So don't be afraid to have easy options on the go so that you don't get so hungry you end up overeating because you're just so tired and burnt out at the end of the day. So with our workouts, I know often we wanna jump right back into things. We even think, well, I'm modifying from where I was before. You have to really focus on regress to progress, and that often means even going further back than you would like, further back than you think you need, further back than even modifying from where you were before, okay? We have to always focus on meeting ourselves where we're at. And in that first few weeks when you're starting back to training, the more you make it something that you're like, oh, this is almost too easy, I can feel everything working perfectly, I could do way more, the better off you're gonna be, because you have to remember that we often get sore just from doing something new, and if you haven't done anything in a little bit, this new alone is gonna make you sore, not to mention you're reestablishing that mind-body connection. We have to recognize that childbirth, whether or not it's natural, C-section, whatever else, you have to recognize that childbirth is a trauma to your body. It has potentially interrupted or disrupted your natural recruitment patterns. Even the act of being pregnant has changed how you've moved about, and this has changed your natural recruitment patterns. And so we have to own that, so that as we're coming back, as we're building back our strength, we have to be conscious of what we feel working, reestablishing that mind-body connection. And that means taking things so far back to basics that they almost feel easy. And that will allow you to build the momentum, make sure everything's engaging correctly, make sure that you're not overusing those tendons, as sometimes we can still have that joint laxity, that hypermobility from being pregnant, but we were rebuilding in a way that will help us actually get back to the training we like faster. Not to mention, often that meets us where we're at. You have to recognize the mental fatigue that comes with balancing so much in your life, and that can pay or that can impact the way that we're training, right? It can make us not want to push. So if we do something that makes us want to push more, that meets us mentally where we're at, we're going to get more out of those training sessions and it will be easier to build back. So don't be afraid to really, really modify so that things feel almost so easy you could do more and you're even thinking to yourself, I want to do more. Because if you do a couple weeks of that, then when you're ready to do more, you're like, I'm excited for this, versus feeling like you don't want to do more, feeling like you can't do as much as you used to, becoming negative. It all goes back to the more you do, the more you do, and we're trying to create that positive motivation by meeting yourself where you're at and feeling like there is more you can give, okay? Then remember that body weight might be enough. You might have been lifting super, super heavy, but it's going back to establishing that mind-body connection, making sure those proper recruitment patterns are there because you have had things shift and change and you've been carrying extra weight that you might not have had on before, right? So with your pregnancy, you were moving differently, and we have to address that and change those recruitment patterns back. So you have to be conscious to do body weight movements, really learn that control before you start to add loads, because often when we add loads, we're just focused on lifting those loads, not on what's even working. And part of why we do so much activation, so much fundamental work, is so that you can do that one rep max lift and not have to think about what's working. You can run further faster because you're not having to consciously think about recruiting every muscle, right? We want those recruitment patterns to become automatic, but that means doing some intentional works at different points in our life to build back to those natural recruitment patterns and make sure that we're not overloading or overusing things. So don't be afraid to start back with bodyweight movements. This is also great if you're busy and you're training at home. There are lots of ways to progress those moves as well that don't include adding loads if you don't have weights at home. You can slow down tempos, you can change range of motion, you can even do moves back to back that fatigue the same area versus cycling through different moves where areas get to rest. There's lots of different techniques to create progression, even using slightly different variations of a move that you're not as familiar with, okay? So don't think you can't challenge yourself with just body weight, but also recognize that body weight might be what you need to use to build back and really be able to control everything. Maybe you're starting with push-ups even off the wall, really work focusing on that scapular control, and then slowly lowering down to a bench and then back down to the ground, and then maybe even bring in your bench press because you've really got that core control, that upper body strength rebuilt, you've got that mind-body connection. But regress to progress and give yourself time to rebuild and make yourself even crave more because you've made it something that you can easily do and you can feel the correct muscles working and you feel good in your training. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of the Fitness Hacks Podcast. You new moms have so much on your plate. Give yourself grace, give yourself permission to take care of yourself and meet yourself where you're at. Those small changes will really add up.